As you guys know, we're starting a new series today. These next couple minutes, we're just talking about making room for Jesus in our life in 2020, what this looks like. I'm going to talk about a lot of things, making room for our faith, making room in our finances, making room to spread the gospel, making room in a building. You get a little tight. We're going to talk through these the next 2 months. And so you're going to hear those words together a lot. Make room. Let's look. Mark chapter 10. Perhaps a familiar passage, 10 verses I'm going to be reading. So the book of Mark is written about 30 years after Jesus was on the earth during a horrible time. We find out that the Roman Empire has burned down. There's a governor who's ruling by the name of Nero. Many believe that he's burned down the Roman Empire, most of it destroyed. And Nero blames Christians, followers of Jesus. He blames them. And says they're the ones that burned it down. So a great persecution happened. Not persecution like someone unfriended you. Okay? Great persecution like people were losing lives because they followed Jesus. People were going to church only to find out it wasn't the best cup of coffee. People were dying. Guys, I'm for real. Like, people are dying because they follow Jesus. Because they are followers of Jesus. There's stories that how they were dying, being burned at the stake, beheaded. All of these things are happening during this time. This is when Mark is writing. He's writing about the life of Jesus during a time of persecution. And this is what the Bible says. Verse 17. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There's still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go and sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this time, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven?" This amazed them. But Jesus said again, "Dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of heaven. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven." The disciples were astounded. "Then who in the world can be saved?" they asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God." Now, there are moments where me and Casey, Andrew, sit around a room and we pick songs. And these songs go with a message series. Today is not the case. When we picked this song, we had no idea what we're talking about. So when she's saying, "Listen, there are things that you're going to go through that are impossible, humanly speaking. They will only happen because it's what God wants and because what God wills." Here it is. Mark is saying, making room for Jesus in our lives will always release resurrection power in our lives. This is the reason Jesus said, "Greater things that you'll do on the earth because I've gone to the Father." He's saying, listen, the same resurrection power that lived in me now lives in you. But what has to happen for a resurrection to happen? There are things in my life that has to die before I ever see a resurrection. So you and I, we want new life, but there are things in our life that I have to make room for in order to see something resurrected. Same way, we love miracles. We love to experience miracles. We just don't like to be in the position that we got to be in to experience that miracle. And this is what he's saying. He's saying this resurrection power happens, but there are things that you and I have to do for that to happen. Now, let's look at this man. The Bible tells us that this man is a rich young ruler. He came running to Jesus. There is a longing that is inside this guy that is undeniable. Think about this from a humiliation standpoint. Here is a ruler now coming to this carpenter and kneeling at his feet. This is management coming to the employee and kneeling. This is master coming to slave and kneeling. Yet the Bible says all the possession, all of the authority, all of the power, and out of the crowd comes running a rich young ruler, and he falls at Jesus' feet. Picture the humility that has to happen for this to take place. Who you are, the power you have, the authority that you have, the position you have, and yet he comes out of the crowd, kneels on the ground in front of hundreds of people, and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to live forever?" And Jesus says, in essence, make room. Make room for me in your life, and you will live forever. And he says, no. It is the only time in the Bible where Jesus has an individual invitation, and the person says no. Crowds have walked away. People, masses had walked away and said no. They'd rejected him. But it's the only time an individual looked at Jesus in the face and said, no, I will not make room for you. Again, this is important for us to see. Verse 11 of Ecclesiastes says, chapter 3 says, "Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart." Who has planted eternity in the human heart? God has. "But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end." There was a longing in this guy that despite what he had, despite what he owned, despite the authority he had, there was a longing or a desire in him to do whatever it takes. Instantly when I read this passage, Bill, I thought of you. As you came into this place, a big man in heaven, I will be his height, a big man who came into this building, and as I'm speaking, okay, he stands and says, "Pastor Jamie, I want to give my life to Jesus." Doesn't matter what he owns, doesn't matter what he has, there was a longing inside of him that says, I desire to come and follow this Jesus. There is a longing inside of this man that is humility at its finest. He doesn't care what's going on around. There is a longing inside of him. Yet that longing was not enough. The desire was not enough. Because what Jesus says to him is, "You have too much stuff that is consuming you." Because this is what Jesus does. Jesus always goes straight to the heart. You and I, we like surface things, right? How you doing? I'm good. No, you're not. We're surface people. Jesus always goes right to the heart. This is why he says, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. He goes always to the heart. He instantly, so Jesus is coming to the heart of the rich young ruler. This is important for us because Jesus had come in contact with rich people before. This is not about money. This is not about being rich. This is about a heart issue. He's coming to this guy, Matthew, tax collector, Zacchaeus, tax collector, and one who was known to ripping people off. He didn't ask them to leave all their possessions, give it to the poor. He didn't even ask them to do that. And Zacchaeus was one he should have asked. We know that he confessed, "I've cheated people out of money. This is how I'm rich." But what did Zacchaeus do? You can read it in Luke. He says, "Listen, I've cheated people, but I will give them back four times the amount that I've cheated them." And then Jesus said to him, "Today, there is salvation in you and your household." Why? Because there was a heart change that instantly changed with Zacchaeus. So this is what we find. He's coming right at the heart. Let me ask you. This is a serious question. Like, what are you longing for today? Like, what does your heart long for? What does your heart desire? When Jesus comes and says, longing is part of it. Longing is part of it, Bill, that you came in here longing. You came in here desiring. You came in here wanting. And that is a huge part of it. What does your heart long for? What does your heart desire? What is Jesus revealing in his heart? That his motives were pure. His motives were powerful. And here's what we come to find in these two important truths from what the rich young ruler did. We find these two things. There will be a day that every single one of us are going to meet Jesus. There will be a day. What do we have in common in this room? It's not just our good looks and that we're in the best county in Illinois. And if Chicago ever could move into Minnesota, it would be awesome. Can I get a witness? You weren't shouting, but you're shouting now. You're gonna meet Jesus. And you're gonna spend eternity somewhere. Those are two guarantees of every single one of us. And this man had come to this conclusion that despite what he owned, despite what he had, despite all of the power, which is why we find people and we read stories and we go, they had so much, why did they take their own lives? They had so much, why did they have depression? All of these things, this is this man's desire. Despite what he had, there was a longing for more in his life. And Jesus gives him the answer. But the answer is his heart. His heart. And he walked away sad. Daniel Webster was Secretary of State long before any of us were born. He was a prominent attorney before the Supreme Court. But this is what he said. What is the greatest thought that has ever passed through your mind? His response is, the greatest thought that has ever passed through my mind is the thought that one day I'm going to stand before God. One day, I'm going to have to give a personal account of my life before God. This is where this man is. He's longing for eternity, but not because of something he desires, but because God has placed eternity inside every single one of our hearts. And because there's eternity inside every single one of our hearts, there is a longing for more. There's a longing for more joy. There's a longing for more happiness. There's a longing for more peace. That is not anything that you and I have mustered up. No money has bought that. God placed that inside of your heart, that you desire those things. And you know what God's desire is? To give you those things. That is his desire. To which I come back and go, if God put that there and God desires that, then what is the problem? We have to declutter. We have too much stuff. We have too many things going on. I've told us this before. There are things that are happening in our world that we are not wired to handle. I can't handle it. 43 years old, my mind can't wrap my heart around these things that are happening. And I become overwhelmed with those things that are happening. And now all of a sudden, I find myself so overwhelmed that now it's missing out on this relationship that I have with Jesus. So when Jesus says, come follow me, I can't because my mind is racing. And now my activities are racing and I have to declutter. This man could not declutter. But don't misunderstand that the call, the invitation is still, come follow me. That's still the invitation. The invitation has not changed, but the clutter looks a little different. For him, it was wealth. And before we start condemning this man for walking away sad and rich, before we start condemning this man, you and I have clutter that is keeping me from following Jesus. Now, let me ask you this. Let's go hypothetical and let's go my translation of the Bible. Okay, what happens if the man says yes? What happens if this rich young ruler who has all this money says, yes, I will give this up. I will do what Mother Teresa says, that when you were hungry, you gave me food. When you were in need and thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I needed shelter, you gave me those things. This is what Mother Teresa says, all that matters. What if this young rich ruler, the guy in his 20s who had all the money, all the power, said, yes, I will give it all up. And I will follow you. Imagine the kingdom of God changing. Imagine when this man spoke and the power and the influence that he had, and he stands up and says, guys, I've given my life to Christ, and I am now a follower of Jesus. Do you tell me the kingdom of God would not be added to? You tell me that the kingdom of God is not growing? Will you tell me that there's not incredible things that will happen to the kingdom of God if this man said yes? And it's no different with you and I. It's no different. The invitation is still the same. The decluttering is still the same. The distractions are still the same. But the invitation is still the same. Come and follow me. So what is hindering us from following Jesus? Because then Jesus gives us this difficult call in Luke where he says, this is the invitation. The invitation is so difficult, but it's whoever wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself daily. And here's what I want us to see as I conclude for the first time. That's cute in my band. That for the rich young ruler to give up everything was going to take a miracle. Do you know that following Jesus, for you, Bill Moody, for you to follow Jesus, it takes a supernatural force for you to follow Jesus. It takes this miracle for you to go, I want to follow Jesus. I'm giving him my life. I'm giving him my possessions. I'm giving up these things. I'm making room. I'm decluttering. I'm cleaning house, even though it's not spring. I'm doing all of these things. I'm getting rid of the distractions, and I'm following Jesus. I'm getting rid of all of these things. It is a miracle when that happens, because you, as Casey's already said, cannot do it on your own. It's impossible. On your own, you can write it down as much as you want. You can post it on your mirror that this is your New Year's resolution. It does not matter how much you're trying, all those things. Without Jesus, it is impossible. It's impossible. And this is what this man did not see. That while he's kneeling at Jesus' feet, while he's done the hard part, guys, this was the hard part. The hard part in front of 200 people. He said, I want what you have. And he just asked him one question. He said, I got everything I want on earth. How do I have it forever? How do I have it forever? And Jesus said, get rid of the stuff. See, Jesus will always come to your heart and ask you to give up what you want so that you can have what you need. And you'll never get what you need until you give up what you want, because there's no room. And if we're being honest, which is very difficult for all of us to be, we don't have room to follow Jesus the way he wants us to follow him, because we have so much stuff. And to take a step back and to find out what truly matters, this is why Jesus, you know what Jesus talked about more in the Bible than anything else? Money. Not because money's bad, but he says the root of all evil is the love of money. He says, listen, money, good. It's good. It sent people to Cambodia. It built wells. It delivers the gospel message. Money's not bad. But the root of all evil is when I put money or anything else above following Jesus. And this is what he's saying. Listen, rich young ruler, you may have it all, and you got a desire, a longing for eternity, but you, my friend, are distracted. And while you've knelt at his feet and you're kneeling there, and in this moment, all you had to say is, I can't do this on my own. I need your strength to give up all of that. I need you to give me the strength that I might give up and come follow you. Because I can't do this on my own. This is why Jesus said it's impossible. Humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with me, with Jesus, he said, all things are possible. Your marriage, it may not make it without Jesus. Because humanly speaking, I am a jerk. Humanly speaking, I am the worst husband. I'm not winning any award. But when I see my wife through the eyes of Jesus, when it gets hard, I stay. When she says something honest, I listen. Why? Because God gave us two ears and two eyes and only one mouth. So that we will see clear and we'll hear clear and we'll shut our mouths. Right? I cannot be the best version of who God has created me to be without Jesus. It's impossible. It's impossible. And this is what he's saying. But hear me today. The invitation is still, come follow me. Still the invitation. And you might find yourself in this room going, I have so much stuff. Jesus isn't coming condemning your stuff. He's revealing where your heart is. That's all he's doing. He's revealing where your heart is. Would you stand with me? Now, listen to what I'm about to say, because I may not say it at 11, but you're still my favorite. But listen. Listen. There is a cultural thing that happens. And I will say it's primarily pastors, and I'll throw myself included in this, that I think there are moments where we make it kind of too easy to come to Jesus. And here's why. Because I worry at times about offending you. I worry at times about embarrassing you. But there is something that happened with the most prideful man that lived on the earth, the rich young ruler. Number one, he was in his 20s. You're automatically prideful when you're in your 20s. It's just, you know everything, right? It's just what it is. You just know everything. He has everything. Yet the Bible says he did something so powerless. He knelt at the feet of someone else. He did what people did to him. When he walked into a room, people knelt. Now he was the one kneeling. There's a mantra or a culture that we've built that I'm going to try to sneak you in to making a decision for Jesus. Like maybe lift up a hand where everybody's eyes are closed. Maybe tell you later on, I'll be in this side room and you can come talk to me. But when Jesus was talking, there was no altar call like, hey, if anybody from the crowd later on would like to follow me, let me know. It says he burst through the crowd because there was a longing, a desire. He just wanted more and he would do whatever it takes. Embarrassment, rejection, he didn't care what you thought. So I'm asking you to pray for God to break you to the point of that longing comes out in the physical. That desire for eternity that God placed in your heart comes out in the physical, which means you're willing and able to have a real relationship with not only others, but God Almighty himself. That you're willing to go, I don't care what it takes. I don't care what you think about me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Bill, I don't know what it was like that day. I don't know how sweaty your palms were. I don't know how sweaty your body was. But all I know is in this moment you stood up and said, I can't handle you talking anymore. Okay, I paraphrase there. You just said, stop talking about it. I need to give my life to this Jesus. And the invitation that was to you, Bill Moody, is the same invitation to you and I. And Jesus said, listen, this will not be a one-time act. This will be a daily decision of you crucifying yourself, you dying to yourself and saying yes to Almighty God. But the invitation is still the same. Come and follow Jesus. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me? God, thank you. God, I pray a lot of things when people walk into Life Community Church. But God, I pray right now specifically that when people walk into this place, there is a freedom to be themselves. God, there is a freedom to push past the crowd and to say what they desire, what is on their hearts, what they're longing for. God, I pray that there is a realness that happens at 626 West Bottom. God, that pride is destroyed. That the spirit of fear is destroyed. That spirit of rejection is destroyed. The schemes of the enemy is destroyed. And God, we can truly be ourselves, whether that's in a small group, a Sunday morning, or throughout the week at a coffee shop. God, I pray that you'd help us to be so real. God, thank you that you invite us to a relationship.